This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you doing?
Well, I'm telling you, it's a little hot out.
A little hot. You're going to have to define little, because by a little, I think you mean like overly excessively hot.
I do. I mean that. I mean, 102 is just too much.
I thought about relocating out of the desert, in order to cool down, I might just move to the sun.
Oh, my gosh. It couldn't be worse.
I know. I think it's probably cooler up at the sun.
Yes. I'm thinking that we need to research where the coolest state is right now. We'll just go there for the summer.
Yeah, really.
You know,
I'm thinking Iceland
looks good. I'm sure the
radio
station will pay for that one.
Yeah, I'm sure that's in the budget.
Oh, yeah, that's probably in the budget, all right. Wow.
Relocate to the North Pole.
Oh, yes. I mean, right now that would feel pretty good.
Yeah. It's a line item they've had in there for many years. It's just unused.
It's unused, so there should be plenty of money there.
Yeah. Just keep rolling it over from year to year, just in case it gets really hot. Wow, I'd hate to see what's going to happen in, like, August. Goodness gracious.
And, you know, August every year is like, it gets to 106, and several years ago it got to 113 one day. I'll never forget it.
Yeah. Oh.
And I'd never seen that bad in my life.
I know it.
And now then, here we are in May. It's 102. Look out, folks.
I know. It's like, how can it be? But now I remember a couple months ago where it was so bone-chilling cold, we were saying, man, in like 4 weeks, it'll be like hotter than the sun, and we'll complain about that. And here we are.
And sure enough, it worked well. You know, we had the longest cold I can remember.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you know, 3 weeks after Easter, we were freezing.
Yeah.
It was so cold.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were having those low nights, you know, 40 degrees.
Uh-huh.
And then just, man, it went right into its little act.
Yeah. Of course, now, the good news is that we don't have volcanoes or, like, hurricanes and things like that, for the most part, in here in West Texas.
Well, it was nice you'd think of that.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that we were not having any no hurricanes and no volcanoes today. That's mighty kind of you.
Just trying to be a blessing.
That's right. Well, you are being nice today. Wow. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, years ago, we did have volcanoes here. I believe there was 16 locations, I think.
Wait, really?
Uh-huh.
Well, I didn't know that.
I'll have to look all that up for you.
Well, goodness gracious,
yes.
You're going to have to put that in the trivia in the next couple of weeks, because now I'm curious.
I will go right to that and look it up and give you a heads up on it.
Yeah. My goodness, I had no idea, seriously.
Yes, we have had.
Oh.
Long, long time ago.
Well, boy, not I feel like a fool now.
Yeah, I mean, we really did.
Wow.
So I just wanted you to know that.
Well, thanks.
Several locations, South Texas, and I remember one is close to the Texas-New Mexico border.
Wait, are you serious? Because that's not that far from here.
I know it's not.
Is it still there?
I think you can see where it's been, like an indentation in the ground.
And it just went away?
I don't remember exactly what happened. I'm going to have to look all that up for you.
Yeah, you've opened Pandora's box now. I got a million questions.
Yeah, now you want to know the whole story.
I do.
I'm going to look it up.
All right.
Yes, I will look that up. Well, now, first thing we have to talk about, before we get down to business, the royal wedding.
Yes.
We need to know how much money they're going to spend on this thing.
Oh, yes.
Okay? $2,700,000. Okay.
$2 million.
That sound like a good amount?
That's a very expensive celebration.
It said, what I read and looked up, is most weddings in the United States cost from $27,000 to $37,000. Of course, there's a lot of them cost more, but that's an average, okay? So 2.7, there will be 40 million will be for security, just to keep people safe, okay?
All right.
The wedding dress costs $270,000. Sounds like a good amount, doesn't it?
Wow.
Yes. As I said, 40 million just for security to keep everybody safe. Food and beverage is going to be $680,000.
Ooh, they must be having some fancy lunch.
And now, they said there'll be 600 guests for the luncheon and the dinner reception.
Oh.
Okay? Then there'll be 2,640 guests from the public with tea and a hot snack on the grounds. Now, how about that? You get a snack and tea. There's going to be a lot of champagne because of Harry.
Of course.
There'll be whiskey because of him. And they said that'll cost a lot. Then they're going to do a glass marquee. That's going to be $400,000.
Wow.
Yeah, they had it made for the reception.
I'm guessing...
Construction, delivery, whole thing will be $400,000.
My guess is when they put all this together, cost was really not an issue. They just, whatever you want is in the thing. There's no budget.
There is no budget because they are so wealthy. I mean, they have so much money, it just won't matter, okay?
Uh-huh.
Flowers are not a lot of money. They're only $130,000.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the flowers would be much more than that, but they're not. So, and the rest of the budget is going to be spent on entertainment. Yes, a selection of choral groups, soloists, and musicians. And the rings, let's talk about them, they're made out of Welch gold. And the engagement ring was designed by Harry. And remember, he got those diamonds from Botswana. And then the other two diamonds on the engagement ring came from his late mother, Diana. And very expensive things going on. Now then, who is paying for all this?
You.
Ah!
You just didn't know it.
I understand that the royal family pays for everything except the wedding dress. And she, Meghan Markle will be paying the $270,000 for her dress. So the $40,000 really for security is the biggest thing. You know.
I would imagine, I mean, I've heard that they have like a no-fly zone. I don't know if it's 2 miles or whatever, but I would imagine there's a lot of air security, ground security. I think streets are being blocked off, and the weird thing is that Harry and Meghan are so accessible to the people. And so, you know, they're still going to go out and they're still going to do the carriage ride, you know, right down through the line of people. So I would imagine security has to be really tight because there are so many potential vulnerable areas. And so, you know, while all that, you know, went on and all that, you know, earlier today, the celebration goes on really into tonight and then probably into again tomorrow. And people will be celebrating probably for weeks on end.
That's what it looks like to me. And of course they said that they're not going to go on a honeymoon. They're probably just saying that where the press will leave them alone, you know. That's what it sounds like to me, because most couples usually do go around the world when they're somebody this famous, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, Windsor Castle is so huge. They showed a picture, one end of that huge castle, that he has to walk all the way to the other end to get to the chapel. And I go, this is, I mean, you know, he's got to walk a mile just to get to the wedding.
Goodness gracious.
Yes. And the half-brother has been saying, call off the wedding, call off the wedding, don't marry her.
Oh, boy.
Now, so I believe they're a little jealous. What do you think?
I think probably so. And we always talk about this, that whenever there's large amounts of money involved, jealousy within the family always rears its ugly head.
It does. People, you know, if you've got something they want, it sure makes them mad. They, whatever you've got, they figure they ought to have it.
Yeah.
And the queen is worth a small fortune. You know,
a small fortune.
You know.
Yeah.
And her income, that they pay her is enormous over there. She brings in so many million from tourists every year. This is their biggest tourist payment, is the royal family. Oh, people want to see the grounds. They want to see all the castles that they live in. They want to get a glimpse of them. And, you know, those guards that are so exciting outside the castle, you know, that do not look at anybody. They don't do that. People go up there and take pictures of them every day of the year.
Yeah, and try to make them laugh and smile and giggle, and they don't.
Yeah,
they don't,
and they're not going to do it. So they say this wedding will bring so much money to England.
Oh, I have no
doubt.
There
will be 5,000 people, they said, coming, probably just from America.
Yeah, I'd love to see some of the totals on this next week when they come out.
So it's going to make them a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
So it is it's a cash cow.
It's like, we need to make people a lot of money, too.
But I don't think we can make them quite that much.
Well, no. But still, we at least enough to retire and enjoy a royal retirement, huh?
Well, and they could go to England.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll make them enough money, they can go over there.
Yeah, maybe have a summer cottage.
I don't think they can afford that.
Well,
they might buy one of those old castles that's dilapidated and that people are not living in anymore. You know, they do have a lot of castles that people have moved out of them. They can't afford the upkeep on them.
Yeah, remodel and flip it.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine flipping a castle? Wow. Oh, my gosh. We've gone too far.
We have. Goodness gracious.
Yes. Well, we better stop and give out the phone number and get serious.
Okay, let's do that. What's that phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And the important thing when it comes to retirement, and that's what this is really all about, is planning so that you can grow your wealth, so you can retire happy, wealthy, and hopefully early. But the point is that you've got to get started. You've got to plan. You've got to put the plan in motion. You have to figure out what the plan is. And I think a lot of people think that this is really a daunting task because they think, oh, my goodness. And I hear this from people all the time where they say, oh, my, you know, I've been saving, but it's just not enough. I think I've got, you know, $100,000 or maybe $200,000. And I think I'll just go ahead and retire and I'll scale back and I'll eat ramen noodles all the time and I'll just kind of like not really go anywhere or travel or anything. That not only is that not a really an ideal retirement, but also if that's all you've got at retirement, it's going to bleed out and you're going to end up having to go back to work. Isn't that right?
You're going to have some people that are really unhappy if they do that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I don't know of anyone that plans to change their lifestyle. Everybody I know intends to go on living just like they are now. They're all trying to get their houses paid for. Most of my customers, their houses are paid for. Their cars are paid for. They have money in the bank. They have a 401k and an IRA. So their problem is how much are they going to need? So they're getting out of the stock market where they can get serious. Up till now, a lot of them have been in the stock market. They weren't serious. And then they've lost some. While the stock market's been up this year, people have actually lost money. They were in the wrong stocks or the wrong mutual funds and just hadn't worked out. I had couples coming this week that were in the stock market, wanted out of the stock market. They were getting serious, and they wanted it to be guaranteed. They didn't want to lose any of their principal. They don't want to go back to 2008 or 2000, 1976. I mean, you can name ever so many years when the market has crashed and they've lost their money. And all these people are 55, some were 67 that came to see me. And they told me some horror stories, you know, that you know, they went into mutual funds, they thought they were going to make something, and now they've looked at it, and in 3 years, they've lost $40,000 or $50,000.
See, that's a lot. That's years of investing down the tubes, and you've got to start
over.
It's
down the drain. And so they wanted to get it out and get it in something that they know how much they're going to make. They're going to know, you know, what the downside is. They know what the risk is, but the risk is not to the principal, mm-hmm. you know? And that's what they're looking at. Am I risking my principal every day? No. And when you're in the stock market, your principal is at risk every day of the year.
Yeah.
And if it goes down, you've just lost. I mean, it's simple. and you still own the stock, but it ain't worth as much.
Right.
It's worth 40% less. And like in 2008, we talk about it all the time, people lost 30 to 40% of their entire portfolio. And a lot of them, it took them 7 years to make it back. I talked to some people this week that things got bad enough back then that they sold their farms.
Wow.
You know, now, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
It hurt their businesses. They had their businesses in stock, you know, what they'd made. And when the downturn came, the stocks went down, so their business lost. They had to sell their businesses at a huge discount and start over. Now, if you're 50 years old, you don't want to do that.
No, and by the time you get to that point, it's almost too late.
That's exactly right, because you've got 50 years old. If you lose your business, who's going to hire you?
Exactly.
Now, I've had some people tell me, you know, they're middle-aged, nobody wanted to hire them. And then I've had other people said, I had to go work for the competition. You know, well, I didn't have a choice.
And see, not only are we talking about the financial aspect of having to sell your business, but you've got the loss that goes along with it. And then you have the element on top of it that goes from, okay, I used to work for myself. Now I have to, you know, answer to somebody else. And they may or may not be. It's not. I mean, it's an entire spectrum of issues that go along with this. So it's not just the financial aspect, but it is very important. And so, you know, when somebody's looking at retirement and they're at 45, you know, or even 50 and having to start over again, then you've also got the panic of, oh my gosh, I have my entire life where I was trying to save and trying to invest and trying to grow and do the right thing. And all of a sudden it's done. And so I've wasted years and years, and so now what do I do? And so people tend to get that, you know, whereas, you know, instead of looking at it as baby steps or being ahead of the game or being, you know, a few years away from retirement, now all of a sudden they're staring at the bottom of Mount Everest, staring up at this thing, and they get that feeling of doom. So you don't want to get into that type of situation because there are so many dire effects of it, but it's easy to avoid that.
Well, in my opinion, it is, because when you look at what we do, first of all, you're buying a part of a life insurance policy. And it's a hard asset. A life insurance policy is a real asset. So when we buy these policies for our clients, you know, we pay the person that owned that policy, they get paid right then, and the bank pays them. And then our people go into that policy. When it matures, they get paid. The bank isn't going to withhold the money. The money comes back to the bank from the insurance company, and the bank puts it in everybody's account because they have a copy of our spreadsheet. They have a copy of every contract between us and the client, and they act as trustee, where that Faye Bagby never touches your money.
Mm-hmm.
Our companies never touch your money, and you know, we don't broker anything. Everything is between us and the customers. The contract says it's our company and the customers and the bank. The bank acts as trustee. I don't know how to make it any safer, you know? We started doing this several years ago and not brokering it with anybody, and that made it double safe because we don't touch the money. The bank handles it. The bank is responsible for getting that money into your account.
And, you know, and I know there's risks with every type of investment, but, you know, like you say, I mean, this is the kind of investment where you know what you're going to make. And I can't think of any other opportunities out there where people know that ahead of time, because all of these numbers are spilled out and there's not a whole lot of what ifs and if this, then that, you know, types of situation. It's pretty straightforward. I mean, you've got a few risks where, you know, maybe the policy may go over or something like that. And there may be a few, you know, things that may vary here and there. But for the most part, it stays within a general scope of, you know, like a percentage of error or a margin of a difference, I guess, you know, when it finally comes due.
You know, we always say this is all averages. Mm-hmm. You know, when people put money with us, a certain amount of them will come in on time. Some of them are going to be, you know, new, and it's going to come in early. A lot of them come in early this last 4 months. And then you're going to have the ones that go over. But it should average out that everything will work out. You know, the ones that go over may go over 2 years, may go over a year or 6 months. But you're going to get paid. It doesn't mean that you're not going to get paid. It just means you'll get paid later. You know, maybe 6 months late, 3 months late. You know, we had those that we went over the other day. Those people got paid 10 months late, and one was 2 months late. But they got paid, and they got their interest. And that's what's important, is getting that interest. That's what's going to keep you going the next 25 years is interest.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have interest, or you're going to get into your principal and use the principal up. A lot of people haven't come to that conclusion yet. They think, well, I've got $500,000. $500,000 is not going to get you there, I can tell you that right now. $500,000 won't last very long. So you need the income off of your investments. If you've got $1 million, you still need interest. It doesn't matter how much you're worth.
It's like at the grocery store when you know, cans of green beans start to sell, they need to replace the cans on the shelf, or else, you know, they're going to go out of business when they sell out of all the products. And it's the same thing with people's retirement. If they're just hemorrhaging money, then eventually they're going to run out. So they need an opportunity to go ahead and replenish that. But you don't want to do something like the stock market, because it is so risky. Is that right?
It is risky. And if you're young, you can afford it. Because if it goes away, you've got 25 years of earning power, and you can replace it, right? But if you're 55, 65, you're going to be, you know, really at the mercy of the stock market. So you don't want to have all that money in there and it go down. You know, they're saying now, all this has gone so high, but lately every few days it's just pancakes, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't even know what's causing it now. I mean, I don't know if it's the Syrian deal, Iran, or if it's North Korea, or if it's just rumors. You know?
Now, rumors can be
devastating. The stock market, even a rumor can make it go down.
Yeah, that can have some devastating effects. And not only just rumors, but it could be just, you know, people just getting nervous, like, oh my gosh, it's getting too big. You know, at some point this is going to burst, so, you know, let's start scaling back and let's start reacting before something happens, maybe in anticipation of another 2008 or 2009. And so they take a little bit out and then what happens, it's almost a domino effect. One person does it and then somebody else does it, and then all of a sudden now you've got, you know, historic lows, and then you get a few historic highs and then lows. That's not, I would imagine that would be very difficult on somebody's nerves, especially at night,
well,
when they're trying to sleep.
And the other day all the experts said, look, they all fell the same day.
Yeah.
Usually your bonds go up if everything else goes down. But the other day the bond market went down, mutual funds went down, stocks went down, all of the indexes went down the same day. Now, when that happens, where are you going to run? Where are you going to hide?
Exactly.
You know, you need to know that you've got some money that's guaranteed. You need some money that you know is under contract, a specific amount of money. So if we tell you, you know, we're going to pay you 1% a month, okay, and it comes in early, you're still going to get paid the 24 or 15%, whatever it was. You're just going to get it early. Then let's say it comes in on 24 months. Well, that was what the contract called for, and so we paid you. Now let's say it comes late. We're still going to pay you the 24. You just don't get it on the 24th month. So I think it's the best of all worlds. In your contract, on page 14, it says, this is how much we're going to pay you. This is what percentage is. This is what the insurance company is going to do. And this is an insurance company. It's a AA-rated company. It tells you who the person is, what kind of cancer it is. Even though you already know it, we're going to tell you again what kind of cancer they've got and how short a term it is. So when you've read all this, you're going to sign it. And that helps you with your memory as to what you're expecting to happen. So that's what everybody needs.
And people know all of this ahead of time. I mean, they see the documents, they see the reports, they see everything there. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't get that when you invest in Wall Street, do you?
No. They're not going to say, now when this stock, at the end of the stock deal, you're going to get a certain amount of money. They're just going to say, today the stock is at, let's say, $20. And we're selling it to you at $20. It's that simple. But if tomorrow it's at $10, that's what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes down, you're going to get exactly what it's worth on that day. If it goes down the day you retire, you're not going to get as much money as you thought.
Yeah.
You know? So you have to guard against it, just like we do on other catastrophes, and say, can I take that much of a loss? If you can, don't worry about it. But if you can't afford a loss of 30 to 40%, you should have it somewhere where you think it's safer. You know? And wives don't like it, guys, when you lose your retirement. I can tell you that.
Oh, no, no, no.
You know, you're going to be in the doghouse with the dog. You know, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a Chihuahua or a Great Dane. You know, it might get a little crowded in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I would do everything I could to, you know, make sure that I'm going to get paid. That's the whole deal. Make sure that your investment will pay off.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not sure it's going to pay off, you're in the wrong investment.
So is it safe or a good idea or a bad idea to maybe keep a little bit in the stock market? Because I know a lot of people love the advantages. There's plenty of advantages of a Wall Street type of investment. You can all of a sudden, things can go up and they can shoot up in a hurry and you can make a lot of money real fast. Although, you know, the downside, obviously, is that the reverse could happen. And so if the opposite happens, it takes much longer, I would assume. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would assume that if you lose big overnight or over several days or a couple weeks, it takes much longer to rebuild that wealth than it does to have almost instant gains. And so do the ends justify the means? Am I looking at this the right way?
Well, I think everybody has to make that decision. They have to say, okay, I want to leave this much in stock, or I don't want to leave any, or if I want to leave a third of it or a fourth of it in and see what it does. But go back and look what it's done all these years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you work for a big company, they've been investing your money in your 401k. So if you've made a lot of money, look at it. If you haven't, look at it again. And if you are going to retire in 5 years, you may want to get some of that out and get it to making interest on a solid basis where you'll be ready for retirement. Yeah. And everybody has to make the decision for themselves.
So
now, we're not telling them you shouldn't be in the stock market. I'm just simply saying I personally am not in the stock market. I don't want to go back in it, and I don't want to worry about my money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to know that it's safe. I want to know that whatever I'm making, they can't take away from me the next day. And to me, I find that that's what I need personally. But everybody else has to make up their own mind. What do they personally think? Now, I have a lot of people that have oil and gas income. They do not put that in the stock market. Oil and gas has got enough risk without putting it in the stock market after you make it.
Yeah.
You know, we have lots and lots of clients that are in the oil business. I have doctors that have just retired, and they got out of the stock market because at their age, they can't stand it if it goes down. See, that's the whole thing. What are your nerves like, you know? Do you have nerves of steel or not, you
yeah.
know? And a lot of my customers just say, you know, I've dealt with it for 30 years. I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to have to get up at 12 and look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to have to take aspirin or something else, and have an Excedrin headache, you know, from watching the stock market. I mean, you know, Excedrin number 54. They don't want to do it.
So somebody should ask themselves, okay, if I've made a lot of money over the years in the stock market, can I afford to lose a lot of money? And whatever the answer is to that question is how they should decide to move forward. Is that right?
That's right. It's up to them. How do they feel about their investments? How do they feel about their age and retirement?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got to face it. They are going to have to retire, and they won't have all that income. So what are they going to do? And I've had a lot of people retire this year, either to a lake house or a farm or a ranch. Everybody has to have something to play with, okay? A lot of them, it's a boat. It's going to the golf course, living on a lake. Others, they want to putter around with a little ranch, you know? They want to have a few head of cattle. They lease out the farm usually, even though they own it. or they may be active in it. They may have them a little tractor. They may be doing a little plowing. But everybody, you know, has a different thing they want to do. You can't do all these things if you don't have the money. You have just your house otherwise, and whatever you're going to retire on from your company. Okay? But if you've got some money to invest and you don't want to lose it, then you should think about how you're going to split it up, or are you going to split it up?
So we've talked about...
And we never know which way they're going.
Yeah, obviously, you know, Wall Street can be very risky. We know that. We touched on some of the risk factors and the things that can affect Wall Street. So what about this type of investment? What are the risks with a life settlement type of investment?
Okay, your biggest risk is if you've got money out there and it goes over. If it goes over, that means you don't get paid on time. And if it's an IRA... You couldn't take it out anyway unless you're going to pay the tax on it. So if it goes over, it's still going to pay you the same amount. You're not going to lose any of your interest. You're not going to lose any of your principal. You're just not going to get it on time. You may not get it for a year. You might not get it for 2 years. So it'll take a little bit off your interest, but it's not going to take all your interest, and you'll still get most of the interest back. Because most of these policies, we've got a few that aren't this way, but most of them, if it's $500 or $150 a year, it's not going to take any of your wealth away, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you're still going to have that money and your investment, and the insurance company's still going to write you that check. They're not going to withhold it. They're not going to say, we're going to pay you less than you've got coming. They're going to pay you the full amount, and that's your risk. Is however long it goes over, can you stand that? If you can't stand it to go a month over, you shouldn't do this. It's not for you.
So the odds of getting wiped out and losing, you know, years upon investment wealth are pretty low.
It's very, very low. I don't know how it could happen, because insurance company is going to pay you. Now, if an insurance company ever went broke, you'd have to get your money from the state, which would pay you. They have the Texas Guarantee Fund, which guarantees your money. But I'm telling you, we've never had a life insurance company go broke in Texas in all the years I've been around. And I've been here over 100, but, you know, I've been here a long time. I'm just saying, in my lifetime, I've never seen an insurance company go broke. Now,
so it's almost far-fetched.
If a company is having a problem, another life company would buy it in a heartbeat because of the premiums. Their premium income is so many million and million of dollars a year. That's why they're so wealthy. They're wealthier than most banks. And in fact, one of these days, I'll do a deal on what the life insurance companies are worth.
Oh yeah, I'd love to hear about
that. That we buy policies from. And it will shock you. They are so wealthy. They have so much income. If all their policies came due in 1 year, they could pay off.
Really?
That's how wealthy they are, huh?
Oh, wow.
That's
I didn't realize that.
How wealthy they are.
Wow.
Yes.
That's impressive.
It is very impressive. And they've been around 150 frigging years. Yeah, 150 years.
So really, the odds of that happening are so far-fetched, but even if they do, say a one in a bajillion odds happens, and one of these companies goes under, there's going to be somebody else there to come in and get it. So there's almost a safety net for the nearly impossible.
There is a safety net, because if a company ever said, you know, we're just hemorrhaging money, you know, we paid off too much during the hurricanes, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else would stop in and buy them immediately.
All right.
Yeah, it wouldn't last. They wouldn't last 30 days.
So there's safety
measure.
Somebody
would have them under contract.
So people really don't even have to worry about that. It's a risk, and they should know about it, that it's possible, but it's so low it's not even a concern. People should not be up at night worrying about that.
No, I would never worry about that. I'd worry about something else. I mean, if you need to worry about something else. And then, worry about who your daughter's dating.
Yeah.
That's a lot more dangerous situation.
Wow.
You know, to me, that'd be a lot more staying up night type deals.
Oh, boy, that's brilliant.
Yeah. So the other thing is it's not liquid during that year or 2 years. You have to wait to get your money. It's like a CD in that respect, you know. You cannot, it's a little different than a CD. Let me correct myself. But once the money is put into the life insurance policy, you cannot get it out until they pass away, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when people pass away, that's when you get paid every time. So if it's a 24-month, you can't take it out in 12. Can't take it out in 15. You've got to wait until they pass away, okay?
All right. So anybody who thinks that, well, this might be a good overnight investment or quote-unquote a paycheck type of investment, this is not for them. This is for the type of investor who has got plenty of assets. They have plenty of money in different accounts. If something comes up, if an emergency happens, they can take care of that. They got plenty of money to live on. This is part of a growing wealth that you already have type of investment, right?
That's right. It's for people who are worth at least $1 million without the house, or that make $200,000 a year. If you don't make $200,000 a year, you cannot do this program, because the government wants people in our programs that are solid, that don't have any worries. They don't want someone that's going to need this money back in 5 months or 2 months. And people that only have $50,000 to invest, I swear, they would want it back in 2 months. They'd need that money.
Yeah.
And we can't do that. Our minimum is $100,000.
Okay.
And that eliminates people that really can't afford to do it.
And for somebody who is in that type of situation, there are other options, other investment types of opportunities. We'll get into those here in just a little bit. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now,
and I can't think what the next thing is that Ivy Cottage has coming up that'll, that everybody needs to go and buy, okay?
I'm sure you'll figure it out pretty quick.
I will, because you've got to stay on your shopping.
Yeah.
Women who don't shop, there's something needs to be checked about them.
Yeah, I'm sure you go at least once or twice a week every day when you're at lunch. You just walk next door and browse around.
That's right. It's un-American not to shop.
All right, so every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and there's always interesting things that you bring to us, whether it's a thing to do or some facts or something. So what's the topic this morning?
It is, what is a state dog, do you know?
The state dog?
See, I'll bet half of Texas does not know we have a state dog, like we have a state flower, state food, tree. You know, Texas has everything. They also have a state dog.
I had no idea.
See there? And you're not the only person that said that to me this week, because I asked around. How many people know who the state dog is?
I'm going to go with a dachshund.
No. Oh. It is the Lacy dog.
Oh.
Now, you may not even know who the Lacy dog is.
No.
Now, the Lacy brothers, Frank, George, Irwin, and Harry, moved to Texas from Kentucky in 1858, and they settled out there in Burnout County. Now, according to the Lacy family, they swore, now, and I don't know now if this is true, he was a mixture of an English shepherd, a coyote, a greyhound, and maybe a wolf.
Oh, wow.
Now,
wow. That's some serious.
This is quite a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is a herding dog. They have to stay busy. They've got so much energy. You don't want them for little children. They have way too much energy for, you know, for a little child. The Lacy dog comes in three colors. They have one that they call Blue Lacy. And now a Blue Lacy's got some blue, maybe a shade of gray. He can be light silver or dark charcoal. The dark charcoal ones are gorgeous, I'll tell you. Then the reds, the red Lacy, starts from light cream to rust color, okay? Then they have a tricolor. And he's got a blue base with distinct red markings as appropriate for his trim, and white. Now, if they have too much white, they are disqualified immediately. Their eyes are sharp. They're alert. It's just their coat has to be short. It has to be smooth and tight on them. And if it's long or rough, again, it will be disqualified as a lacy dog. Now, the blue lacy, as they're usually called, they're intelligent, they're intense, they're active, alert. They were developed for hunting and herding dogs. And they've got great drive, they're determined, and they're a working dog. They don't want to sit around, it's not good for them. They'll work big game, they'll control difficult livestock for you, but they should not be around small children because they'd knock them down. They're so exuberant, you know?
So this is a powerful dog.
It's a powerful dog. They're a herding dog. They will track. They'll run traps for you. They'll hunt wild hogs. That's why I'm saying they're a tough dog. They have a lot of agility, intelligence, and passion, and their speed is next to none. As I said, they're a working dog. You can train them for dog trials or even for hog bays. They've become recognized also as a great tracking dog. And a lot of people seek them because they can find your lost game for you. If you're out on a hunting deal and you've lost it, they'll find it for you.
Cool.
So, I mean, it's just, it's amazing what all we know, you know, about the, you know, about this dog, what their temperament is. Now then, in 2001, of course, everybody was talking about, you know, getting this dog qualified as a state dog, but it didn't qualify. Now, March 15th of 2005, the 79th legislature, and the representative was Joaquin Castro, and at the request of the Texas Lacy Game Dog Association, filed a House Resolution Number 108, and making it the state dog of Texas.
Cool.
And they wanted to recognize the original breeders, their contribution to our state, as well as to honor the Lacy as a Texas original. And it was adopted by the Texas House of Representatives May 15th, 2005, by the Senate on May 25th, and Governor Rick Perry signed legislation adopting the Lacy as the official state dog breed of Texas.
How cool is that?
It's the coolest thing you ever heard of. Now then, in 2008, this is kind of funny, they wanted to replace Revel, the collie, as a mascot dog of Texas A&M. And, of course, you know where that went, straight down.
Yeah.
Because the collie is always going to be A&M's mascot. They're not ever going to let anybody change that. But it is amazing about this dog that they've been around since the 1800s, and that they are really kind of a famous working dog, and they have the three kinds. As I said, I think the charcoal one is the prettiest. The blue and tan is pretty, but to me, it's not like the solid color ones. And I think it's a great working dog, and you can't have them somewhere just laying around. They have to work. They have to get all that energy out, and that's when they're happy, is when they're actually working cattle, or your game, or, you know, tracking some animals for you, because they can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like taking kids over to the grandparents and then giving them candy and then trying to put them to bed. It ain't going to work.
Oh, yeah, that's a great stunt. That doesn't work very well, I can tell you.
Oh, no, it does not.
I mean, they're so high, they won't be going to bed till midnight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, same things with these dogs then, right?
It is, because they've got so much energy, they've got to get the energy out. And I don't know how fast they run, but they tell me they are really fast.
Wow.
Yeah. But can you imagine, the original one had coyote in it, had all these different things in it?
I can't imagine a blend like that, you know? I mean, this has got to be the most powerful, quote-unquote, domesticated dog or animal on the planet, I would think.
Well, yeah, it had coyote in it, had some greyhound, and wolf.
Wow.
And oh, and some English Shepherd in it. But they're a very pretty dog, and I guess that's because over the years, you know, as they became entwined, maybe, with other Laceys, they've changed a lot. But they are, I think they're a very pretty dog. And they're usually, the girl dogs get up to about 45 pounds. And, of course, the boy dogs are heavier than that.
So it's super powerful but loyal.
But very loyal. You know, they'll do just whatever you want them to track or to herd or, you know, whatever you want them to do. But they say now they're established not only in the United States but Canada, and now there's a few of them in Europe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and but they're not a member of the American Kennel Association.
Why?
I just don't know.
I can't understand that.
Yeah. And the male can run up to 50 pounds.
Wow.
So, but they're kind of long, is the way I look at it. And, but they're very smooth coat, very tight coat. But they should be, as I said, a girl dog should be 25 to about 45 pounds.
So pretty, and, but full of muscle.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're really all muscle. They're very proportional. Within their height to weight ratio, so but they're strong and they're fast.
So I would say some would say that this is probably a perfect creature.
For hunting, I think it is. Anybody that's got a ranch or a farm, this is the dog they should have. They should have a Lacey because it's so fast and intelligence. That's another thing. It's a very intelligent dog. It's not like the Beagle. You know, the Beagle is not intelligent. You can hardly train a Beagle. You know, they're not very smart. It takes a lot of determination to train a Beagle.
Join us next week for Faye's Beagle bashing segment.
That's it. Well, but they're pretty dogs. Beagles are very pretty, and they're loyal.
Oh, yeah. Snoopy was a Beagle, wasn't he?
Yeah. But they can't do what this dog can do.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know, the little beagles, as you know, they'll hunt fox for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll do that.
Yeah.
It's just they're hard to train.
That is true. Yeah.
And you know, a lot of these dogs just don't have the ability and the agility of this dog.
Yeah.
So I think it's a fabulous dog.
Each breed has their own strengths. So
that's
it's
right.
Just that the Lacey is really, it's ideal for Texans because of all their muscle, their beauty, their stature, their brains. They really got everything that you could ever want in an animal.
They're a true Texas dog, and it's amazing that they were finally recognized by the state legislature as our type of dog for Texas, a Texas, true Texas dog.
A great representation.
And a lot of people don't even know that the Lacey is a state dog.
I had no idea.
And most of them call them Blue Lacey, but the true name is just Lacey, but the Blue Lacey is what everybody usually calls them instead of just a Lacey.
Cool. I'll have to look into getting me one.
Yeah, I wanted you to know about that.
Nice. Well, thank you so much. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And again, we're just down the street from Walgreens and CVS. Did you know that? There's a CVS on one side of the street, a Walgreens on the other, and we're just half a block down there. Right by Avid Cottage.
Super easy to find. So we were talking about alternatives to the life settlement for those that that can't or don't qualify for this type of investment. So what other options are there for somebody who does not qualify for a life settlement?
Well, they can do annuities. Annuities have been around over 100 years, way over. And annuities are safe. You know, they guarantee your money from the time you put in it till the time you take it out. annuities are up right now. They're paying more than they were. It looks to me like they're going to go back to the old ways where they paid, used to they paid, you know, a lot of money. And it looks to me like annuities are on their way again. I saw something this week where they said this one had the advantage of paying close to 11%.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't read all the details yet, but annuities are up. You know, you can get a guaranteed flat rate annuity, or you can get one that is in the indexes. It indexes in the S&P 500, the Dow, a lot of different things, but it's not in the stock market. It just follows the stock market. And you can make more when you've got it in the S&P and the Dow, all these different things, the NASDAQ. And if it makes money, if the stock market makes money, this pays money. If it doesn't make any money, it just stays level. You never lose your principal. That's one thing about an annuity. If the upswing goes up, you make money. If it doesn't, it stays right there, flat.
So you don't.
But your principal's guaranteed.
You don't lose money per se, but you
never.
May not make it.
That's right. You might have a year when you didn't make one dime, but your principal was safe, and the next year it may make twice as much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know the annuities that we've got most of our people in, they have made money. Even when things were pretty bad, they were still making some money, you know. They were still making 4% or 5%, even when things got rough. So and a lot of people tell me over the years, 10, 15 years with us, they've made a lot of money with their annuities. And some of them are drawing their annuities out now because they've got to that age. And some of them aren't. Some of them are still just, you know, getting the interest. But you can do two or three things with an annuity. You can have monthly income, annual income. You can wait till end of 5 or 7 or 10 years and start taking it. Or you can take it after 1 year. If you've had an annuity for at least 1 year, you can start taking money out.
Well, I had somebody ask me earlier this week, and I said I would ask you today. Is it possible to use an annuity to build wealth if somebody does not qualify, if they're not accredited for the life settlement? Could somebody effectively use an annuity to build their wealth and then take that and then switch over to like a life settlement type of investment?
Yes, we've had some people that did that. They couldn't qualify to start with, okay? So what we did, we put them in annuity for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're coming out of the annuity. They're worth enough now. They were just a little short. So they've come out of that now and are going into the life settlements, which they could not qualify to start with. And then I've got people that put in, 15 years ago. And as they got old, they never did take any money out. They had enough income from other things that we had with them that they never did take any out. So it will go to their heirs, which will be quite a bit of money. And then I've had people that have no children, and they left theirs to UT Southwest for heart research and for cancer research. So there's so many things you can do with an annuity. They're very versatile. And when you get old, if you're worried about somebody changing your assets, if you've got an annuity, they can't. Whatever you said it goes to, that's who it's going to go to. They're not going to be able to change it. Whoever you want to go to, it will go to. If you want somebody to have lifetime income, I've had some people that had children that were disabled, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that child could never take care of themselves. So we set up some annuities where that if they pass away, they will have money to take care of them for the rest of their life, where they won't burden somebody.
So with the annuity, everything is solid, it's buttoned up, it's nice and tight, you don't have to worry about any funds going to where they shouldn't or anything like that.
That's right, and they're double A rated. All of them are A and double A rated. They're the biggest life insurance companies in the world.
So it is a good opportunity, because I know we spend a lot of time on the life settlement, but you know, for those that don't qualify, and there are a number of people who don't, and that's fine. It doesn't mean anything bad or anything. It just means you've got to still go ahead and start the planning process, because you can use the annuity to get into this other type of investment. So for the life settlement, what are those qualifications? How does somebody become accredited?
Okay, you make $200,000 a year, including your bonuses. And a lot of people forget to include bonuses and all this that they're getting at the end of the year. If you make $200,000 a year, you're qualified. That's one of the things the government allows. Now then, or if you have ranch land, rental property, all kinds of things, as long as it adds up to $1 million without the house, you can use your ranch house, rental property, that counts. Just your residence does not count in Texas. If that's $1 million, you can qualify that way. So you've got two ways to qualify, okay? And
so,
if it's an IRA or 401k, you know, that's all you have to qualify.
So before people come to see you, they really just need to go ahead, take a few minutes, gather up their assets, figure out, you know, what is where. Do people need to bring paperwork in, or do you track things down, or how does that work? How does the verification work?
Well, they need
work?
To bring in, like if they've got a 401k, a rental property, whatever, they need to bring that in and show us. And let us look at the different investments and see what's the best way to handle this, okay? How do we want to start it out? How do we want to make it work?
Mm-hmm. So and, nobody has
lots
to...
Of people, okay. Do what?
Nobody has to plan on coming in and you know, hitting the ground running. People can just come in with some information. Here's where I'm at. Here's where we want to be. You know, let's figure this out together. They don't have to come in with some kind of preconceived knowledge or anything like that.
No. We'll just go over it and see how much they have now, how much they want to have, how much interest they're going to need to live on. And we always have to figure that out, you know. How much do you think you'll need to live on? How much interest income? And we add all that up, and if they need to, we put money in their account where they'll have that to start off with. They may say, Faye, put me $100,000 in my account now and keep it at 100. They may not use it every year, but they've got it in their account.
So it's
and that's in addition to their other investments.
So there's a number of accounts that are set up, so people always have access to funds if they need it. And then there's another, and I know we use the pile analogy sometimes, but there are other piles or accounts of money that are being used to make the investments. And so it's a well-organized, well-oiled machine that covers all aspects of the investor's needs.
That's exactly right. So everybody has got a different program. Everybody needs to do something different. And lots of times their wife has a 401k. We have to consider that. Are they going to use any of that, or are they going to put that all just in investments? Most people put the wife's just in investments and don't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, if she wants to use that money, she can. She can have more fun out of hers, you know. But we usually use the man's for the main investment.
Okay.
Now, and lots of times the wife goes right along with what he's doing, but we diversify. And if somebody just wants to put $50,000 each policy, we'll do it. If they want $100,000 each policy, we will do it. It's up to them. But we want them to be diversified. I don't want anyone to have all their money in one policy.
And that's really the key to it, is stay diversified. So, you know, if something does go over, if a policy goes over, whatever, there are other policies that may come in early. And so it's really part of a long-term planning process. The key to whichever route people take is the planning. And really, they just have to get started. And so have you got, you have availability for appointments this coming week, yes?
I do, and we will be taking appointments all week. And, you know, trying to get everybody situated and get them started investing.
Brilliant. All right, Faye, one last time. What is your phone number to make an appointment?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.